Good morning, everyone. How many of you have experienced, especially this last few months, experienced detours going to place to place? I know we have experienced a lot, and we don't like them because sometimes we want to get to a certain place at a certain time, and it sort of holds us back. But the blessed thing about detours is it's a sign that's directing you another way. And it's such a blessing to reach our destination, even was it wasn't intended destination that we, the route that we would take. But it caused us a little inconvenience, but God got us to where he wanted us to be. This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Genesis, the 50th chapter. Genesis, the 50th chapter. I am reading from the New American Standard. It's very similar to King James, just wording is a little clear. Starting with verse 19. But Joseph said to them, "Be afraid, for I am in God's place." Verse 20. "As for you, you meant it evil against me, but God meant it for good." Now, note this. Remember this. Watch this. In order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. Verse 21. "So therefore, do not be afraid. I will," and here it is, "provide for you and your little ones." So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. He says, God brought me here. This is Joseph speaking. He said, God brought me here at this present time to provide for you. The detour of provision. Now, what do I mean by that? Simply stated, your destiny, don't miss this, your destiny, no matter what it is, will always, without exception, lead to the benefit of others. Your destiny will never only be about you. God is taking you somewhere, and when he takes you, wherever he is taking you, others will benefit because of that, because of where God took you. If the only one benefiting from your destiny is you, you are actually still on your detour. If the only one benefiting from God taking you to your destiny is you, you are still on your detour. Amen. And you haven't gotten there yet. Because your destiny will include the benefit that you are bringing to others. Now this part is confusion today in the Christian community. And everybody's running around looking for their blessing. Everybody's running around, they want their blessing. They want whatever God is going to do for them or to them. But not nearly enough people are asking the question, what do you want to do through me? I know what you're doing to me and for me, but unless God can also move through you, you will be delayed in arriving at your destiny because your destiny will always include that which benefits others besides yourself. You and I are part of something bigger that God wants to do through us, through you, through me, in order to fully fulfill his purpose for us. So if you are serious about arriving at your destiny, you must ask the question, Lord, not only this is what I want you to do to me and for me, but show me how you want to move through me. Because he says, I have done this to provide. Remember when Joseph said in the scripture I just read, I have done this to provide for you. God brought me here not just so I can live large, live an extravagant life. Because it tells, now if we could tell the truth and shame the devil this morning, most of our requests are about God, or to God, it's about helping us to live a larger, a better life. A nice house. Lord, bless me with a beautiful home. A nice car. I like to ride. Cool, chill. Nice clothes. Man, I got to dress. A better job. I need more money. Better pay. It is usually something that benefits us more. Isn't it true? Oh boy, I didn't have to ask for no amens that time. Now there's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. Of seeking God to improve your own life, spiritually and beyond, that what he is suggesting is that it is to provide something bigger than you. In chapter 45, going back in Genesis, seemed like I'm going backwards, but I have a purpose for it. In chapter 45 in Genesis, where he talked about Joseph forgiving his brothers. Because when you understand that God is behind even the negative things that happens to you, it enables us to forgive. Genesis 45 and verse 4, he calls his brothers in. And he tells them to come close to him. He makes it, what he's doing, he's making it more comfortable for them. He says, come near him. Then he tells them in verse 5, now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. Remember, every detour, bad or good, turned in Job's life, most of them were bad. It says that the Lord was with Joseph. Every time something bad, he got out of one bad situation, you think he's being delivered. And get in another situation, it's just as bad as the last situation. He got out of that one, and the third one's even worse than the first one, the last two. But it always said, but the Lord was with Joseph. He said, you sold me, but God sent me. Now watch this. You messed over me, but God was behind it. Because remember, nothing can happen to you that doesn't pass through God's sovereign hands first. You sold me, but you had no idea when you were selling me that God was sending me. God was using your mess to set up my miracle. That's why you can't get too very angry. You can't get mad when it's not going right for you because of somebody else's mess over you. Could simply be a setup for God's miracle for you. He said, for the famine had been in the land these 2 years. In verse 6, he said, for the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. Verse 7, God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Verse 8, now therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he made me a father to Pharaoh, and the Lord of all his household, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. He goes on to say in verse 11, there I will also provide for you, for there is still 5 years in the famine to come, and you and your household and all that you have would be impoverished. Now notice what he says. He says, God sent me here to provide for you. So here's the question about your destiny. What benefit am I, are you bringing to others because of where God has brought you to? What benefit am I bringing to others because God has brought me to this place? If you have not yet gotten to the benefit, you have not yet fully arrived at your destination, your destiny. That's the bottom line, because your destiny is not simply about you. Now, the movement of how God brought him to this place involved a negative thing that was happening in society. Joseph had never planned to leave his father's house in Canaan and arrived at a foreign secular society named Egypt. He had never planned to do that, but God knew plans that he didn't know. Oh, by the way, I hope you know God knows stuff you don't know. Amen. Why? Because God is thinking bigger than you can see. Amen. Many of us can attest to that this morning. God is thinking bigger than we can see. And it doesn't just involve you. So therefore, God is taking all this in. And that's what makes him so spectacular, make him so marvelous. He is taking all this into consideration, and he is relocating Joseph, him, to a place he had never expected to live. Though it's through a set of negative and positive, but negative mostly, circumstances. Do you remember now that the king had a dream? Y'all remember Pharaoh's had a dream? And the dream was really a nightmare. You know, because he scared him. He doesn't know what the dream means. And he is terrified. He is frightened. Somebody say he was frightened to death. He calls his professionals to help to interpret the dream. Wouldn't it be nice if every time we dream, we have professionals to come in and interpret it for us? Especially if it was a bad dream that scared us. He calls his professionals to help him interpret the dream, to help him to understand the dream. But the professionals couldn't help him. That's in chapter 41 and verse 8. It says, "Now in the morning his spirit was troubled. So he sent and called for all of the musicians of Egypt and all of its wise men. And Pharaoh told him his dream, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh." Now, God is something. He really is. That's why I don't try to figure him out. The word says his ways are so far from mine. Notice this setup. Now, Joseph is in jail. Actually, he's in prison. He has been falsely imprisoned. He is in the deepest part of the prison, because it says in the word, in the scriptures, that he was in the dungeon. That is the basement of jail, because the jail was on top. It's like a two-story building. He was in the darkest part. The place was dark. It was dingy. It was a dingy place. It was not a nice, pleasant place. Your destiny will often lead you through unpleasant locations, places you don't want to go. He is in a dungeon, so he doesn't know what's going on out there in Egypt. He don't know what's going on above land. He don't have any windows to look at. He don't know what's going on. He didn't know that Pharaoh had a dream, and it scares him. And none of the professionals can interpret it. Now, who is this guy? Y'all remember this guy in the story who was in jail with him, and he forgot about him when he got out. Amen. So for 2 years, he was in jail. And chapter 41, it says, now in verse 41, I think, it says, chapter 41, now it says, this is what happened. Chapter 41, verse 1. At the end of the 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, so the guy has been forgotten in jail for 2 years. Pharaoh has this dream he can't interpret this dream. And all of a sudden, this guy remembers the cupbearer. Remembers there was this guy in jail who was a dream interpreter. He took notes of this. That means that now he was in jail. He had this gift. They say he knew he was an interpreter. Now look at this. Joseph set on his gift, the gift of interpreting dreams, and he didn't get to use it for 2 years. It looked like God wasn't going to use him. God then releases him. The reason I want you to pay attention to this is that his life turned around in just 24 hours. So don't get all mad and get all upset and start talking all kinds of bad language because you don't see nothing happening. Amen. But God gave Pharaoh a dream out here that Joseph knew nothing about until God was ready to hook him up. What I say, how we always see, God was ready to hook a brother up. So you see, timing is tied to your destiny. It's not only what God is doing with you over here, it's what he is doing with this problem out here so that you don't know anything about until God hooks you up, until God lets you know what's going on, until God lets you see what's going on. But here's the good thing about God. Everything is good, but here's another good thing. When he moves to bring you to the next level of your destiny, he often does it suddenly. Amen. He often does it without you knowing it's going to happen. So the fact that you don't lose or don't see it happening, the fact that you don't know what's next, the fact that you are wondering what in the world God is doing by allowing me to go through this mess, my ups and downs, my ins and outs, my hot and cold, these situations doesn't mean nothing. It's happening. It means that God has not been ready to make the connection with you yet. It can happen suddenly. Amen. And could happen by this time tomorrow. For you, 24 hours. Now, he has brought us up to the king. In Genesis 41 and verse 14, then Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, and they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came to Pharaoh. Look at this now. He is in jail. He is raggedy. He is dirty. He is smelly. He has grown a beard because he can't take care of himself. He has old clothes. And in 24 hours, he gets a shave. He gets brand new clothes. He never expected it, never knew it, but he never knew what was going on. He comes up, interprets Pharaoh's dream. Verse 41. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Verse 42. Then Pharaoh took off his signet ring and his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put on he had to have some bling. Put on a gold necklace around his neck. Verse 43. He had him to ride in the second chariot. He got a brand new vehicle. Brand new. And they proclaimed before him, "Bow the knee," and he set him over all the land of Egypt. Isn't God good? And you know he's doing the same thing for us. Some of you maybe be discouraged, heartbroken. You don't see anything happen yet. But God is about to hook you up. And in 24 hours, it can change. You can go from a pauper to prosperity in 24 hours. Joseph is living big time now. Got new clothes, a new Gillette razor to shave. He made the second highest in command in Egypt. He has a gold necklace around his neck. He is riding in his brand new chariot. And he is the second most powerful man in Egypt. What am I saying? That if you stick with God, I mean, when I say stick, I mean like you become glue. Stick with God. Even when you're in the pit, if you will stick with God, even though you're not in a place you prefer, if you will only stick with God, even if you are not right now where you want to be, He knows how to change your situation overnight. Don't lose it because you don't see it, because you are wondering about it. Don't lose it. Joseph was sitting in jail, probably saying, "What did I do to deserve this?" But if you stick with God, even when you are in a place you don't want to be, suddenly God knows how to flip the switch in your life. I'm telling you, all He's saying to us saints this morning, stick with God. I don't care what it looks like. Some say, I don't care what it tastes like. I don't care what it seems like. I don't care what people are doing to you. If it's bad, we've been in jobs where our supervisors and managers seem like they were just beating us down. Nobody else. We're doing our work. We come to work on time, but it seems to be hard on us. But if you stick with God, don't let Him go. Your change is about to come. The Word says, and with Joseph's situation and all that stuff he went through, from the pit to the prison to jail to the palace, the pit, prison, and palace, God changed all those years into 24 hours. It changed his life. So don't be discouraged. I don't care how dark it seems. God has a way of bringing you out. Just stick, continue to believe in Him. You know, so many times, and I was just thinking of some situations here that we have been going through. For some of us have been going through some things for a long time. It seemed like for years. And how God, just all of a sudden, you didn't know it was coming. When He said, turn the other cheek, you turn the other cheek, and it was good. He gave you a love tap. Brother and sister, now you're out of this. He will do it. He will do it. He will do it. And can do it. Heavenly Father, we just thank You, Lord.